Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
There we go. Steve did a nice job of thanking everyone who is involved, except my wife. If you've ever said to me, "Oh my gosh, thank you, appreciate your preaching," can you actually say to Kim, "Oh my gosh, thank you, I appreciate Mike's preaching, because I couldn't do any of this, and I literally mean this, if it weren't for her." That's not one of those throwaway, "Oh, isn't that nice, he said that." I mean, literally, Kim at 7:15 this morning was reading my sermon and saying, "Oh honey, you can't say that." So if you think I offend you now, imagine life without Kim. Yeah, from A to Z. So I'm profoundly grateful for my wife, who makes this ministry possible in more ways than you even want to know. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for Easter. We can't even begin, Lord, to express our gratitude, our praise, our worship to you, for what this day means for us. Not only, God, that we celebrate today, but because of today, we celebrate. Not only that today we rejoice in your resurrection, but because of your resurrection, for all time we can rejoice. Father, we pray that you would speak now. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to know your words. Help us to be changed. Give us the joy today. That is Easter. That is our celebration of life conquering death. If anything isn't your word, Lord, if Kim missed anything, please let it blow away as chaff, be remembered no more. And God, please do let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing unto you. We're really grateful to gather in your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've preached on Easter before. I've never preached a Holy Saturday service. Christians also call that Great Saturday, or Easter Eve, or Black Saturday. If you do a Lenten reading, right, of the Gospels, if you go back and start 40 days ahead and read through the Gospels so that you end on Easter at the resurrection story, Holy Saturday is really pretty easy. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph. They saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was placed in it. Then they went home. They prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath day in order to obey the law. And verse 55 here is really just for context, right? Verse 56 is it. And only the second half, really, right? But they rested on the Sabbath day in order to obey the law. They went home, they prepared spices, because their Sabbath, their Shabbat, it starts at sundown on Friday night, and it ends sundown Saturday night. So they are observing their Sabbath like any other Sabbath, and this day, this Saturday, is also referred to as the Great Sabbath. So what happened during the Great Sabbath? Nothing. The women followed the Jewish law by resting. Nothing changed. On Friday, Jesus was taken and murdered, except that it was a state-sanctioned murder, so we call it an execution, betrayed to the religious by the religious leaders, who lied. They framed him. They made a mockery of his trial, totally broke the Old Testament law in how they went about trying him. And then they turned him over to the soldiers, the occupiers of Israel, the Romans, who hated Jews. And I mean with a full-throated racist hatred. That sign, right, above Jesus' head, the King of the Jews. So step back from the double meaning that you know that Jesus is king. Just step back from that for a second and think about this. They took a Jew and they beat him viciously. They broke him. They put a robe on him. They put a crown on him that impaled him. They laughed at him. They spat on him. And then they made a sign so that the world would know that this ragged, bleeding man, that's what a king of the Jews looks like. The soldiers from the occupying army are making it very clear that any uprising under this empire will fail. Right? The Jewish leaders, the ones who turned Jesus over to this torture, they protested. No, no, no. Don't say, this is the king of the Jews. Say, this man said he's king of the Jews. And Pilate responded, what I have written, I have written. Which is to say, no, that's exactly how I want the Jews to look. No, I'm not taking that back. This is the king of the Jews. Not only that, they wrote it in three languages. I mean, can we go over the top here a little further? Anybody anywhere around who happened to be able to read would see in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek, the king of the Jews. Conquering armies conquer. I didn't realize that would be so hard to say. Conquering armies conquer. And when there's the slightest threat of rebellion, they crush it mercilessly. That's what they do. And King Herod thought that there was the slightest chance that a baby might be born who would grow up to unseat him, maybe 20 years now from now, maybe 30 years from now. What did he do? He had all the babies 3 years old and under slaughtered. That's the power ruling on Saturday. That's what Saturday looks like. Saturday afternoon, Jesus is dead. The women are resting because it's the Sabbath law and we're still under the law. The soldiers are soldiering, doing their duty, beating and flogging a man, putting him to death. Maybe they enjoyed it. Maybe they're hateful racists. Maybe they hated it. Maybe this is just my duty. In any case, they're murdering today. This is Saturday. Pilate went back to the palace. The crowds dispersed. Joseph of Arimathea, who was on the Jewish council, now he did something extraordinary. He not only had a change of heart, but he'd had such a transformation that he dared take responsibility for this dead criminal. And he went and asked Pilate specifically for his body. And he took Jesus and he buried him, not in a pauper's grave, not tossed along the side of the road, but in his own tomb that he had purchased where no one had been buried before, probably intended for his family. It was a strange decision to put this stranger, this false prophet, this criminal, this king of the Jews, in his own tomb, with his own property. And then Joseph went home and rested too, because anything that he possibly could have done, he did. That's Saturday. Sunday morning comes, and literally everything changes. So my question today is it Saturday or is it Sunday? It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week. I love those fans. It was very early in the morning on the first day of the week. It was. There it was. It was very early in the morning the first day of the week The women took the spices they had prepared. Then they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from it. When they entered the tomb, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were wondering about this. I imagine they were. Suddenly, two men in clothes as bright as lightning stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed down with their faces to the ground. Then the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you he would rise? It was while he was still with you in Galilee. He said, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful people. He must be nailed to a cross. On the third day, he will rise from the dead.' Then the women remembered Jesus' words." They came back from the tomb. They told all these things to the apostles and to all the others. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them were the ones who told the apostles. But the apostles did not believe the women. Their words didn't make any sense to them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent over and saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Then he went away, wondering what had happened. First thing Sunday morning, nobody knows anything has changed yet. Think about this moment right here. The entire world has changed, and nobody knows it yet. They're still living in this Saturday reality, and it's Sunday morning. The women wake up. You know it's really early. It's almost certainly still dark out. Maybe they didn't sleep at all. So you wake up, and have you ever had this experience? You wake up, and something actually really horrible has happened, but like for those first 10, 15, 30 seconds, you don't remember that things have gone really bad. Anybody had this experience? And you lay there, and you're like, kind of happy, kind of, and then boom, you remember that something horrible, yeah, right? Yes, you know, right? Experience when my father died, experience when our son died. You wake up, and it's fine, and then you remember, it's not fine. It's the opposite of fine. It will never be fine again. And you wish you could just go back into that forgetful state, but you can't, because the day's on you, and this is what the day is. And for them, the day is the last thing that they can possibly do for Jesus is take these perfumes and oils and go and anoint his corpse, his dead body. Last little thing I could do to serve him. He's gone. He's dead. This totally failed, but I'm still going to do this. I'm still going to be faithful in this one little act of service. And they walk in the dark, and they ask each other this question. Now, how are we going to get in? That's a tomb stopped by a stone. Who's going to roll away the stone for us? Imagine this moment. They're walking on the way to the tomb and their hearts are completely broken and the world is destroyed for them. But the world's not destroyed. The reality is it's Sunday morning. The reality is they're not going to find anybody in that tomb. The reality is they don't have to ask for somebody to roll away the stone because the stone's been rolled away. And that's pretty cool. But I want you to just hold your split screen for a second, right? That this is the reality they're living in, and this is the reality that's taken place. Do you understand? Their hearts are heavy as stone, and they're trying to follow through with this act. But what does it matter if you anoint a dead man? He's dead. And they're actually going to an empty tomb. They are minutes away from meeting angels. And that's not their conversation at all. What do you think an angel's going to be like? Nope. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about how horrific is this man going to look, this man we've loved and cared for and supported for 3 years. And he had told them all of this, right? Remember? And then the angels remind them, and they say, oh, that's right. But they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it. Because here's this grim reality of a Roman Empire that conquers everyone, and Jewish leaders who are scandalously crooked, and that's the Saturday reality. And Sunday morning, they haven't yet fathomed that it's all changed. It's all changed. Jesus wasn't wrong about a single word he said. And even though they were up all night, mourning and grieving for him, all of it was true. All of it was true. Easter means that although we're still taking care of Jesus' body, we think, Jesus has risen from the dead and does not need that service from us. We're still discussing, are they going to come hunt us down next? Right? They just crucified our Lord, who we all swore allegiance to. Are we next to be murdered? And the answer is, why are you looking for the living among the dead? It's Sunday morning. When the women come back from the tomb, which does not have a dead body in it like it's supposed to, but it does have two angels in it like it's not supposed to, the men, the disciples, the fishermen, the tax collector, the revolutionary who really, really wanted this to be a violent revolution, and I don't mean Judas Iscariot, they don't believe them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to 11 and to all the rest, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. They think the women are loco. They think they're Lulu. And I'm trying to picture this. I'm trying to picture that a group of women comes running into the room and says, he's not dead, he's not dead. He's alive, he's okay. And all the guys go, yeah, right. Started drinking early this morning, did we? I mean, are they angry? Are they like, you stupid women, you don't know what you're talking about? Do they just ignore them? Can you imagine how excited, how wildly excited these women were coming back to tell them, it's Sunday morning? And the guys are like, no, it's not. It's Saturday afternoon. No, it's not. Nothing's changed. No, it's not. Now, I might be barring trouble here, but did they not believe them because they were women? In that culture, women were not legal witnesses, right? You couldn't put a woman on the stand and have her legally testify to anything. It didn't matter what she said. In that culture, fathers owned their daughters, husbands owned their wives. Absolutely, legally, you are my property. I don't think it's a coincidence that it was the women who were the first to witness that it's Sunday morning, that resurrection happened. These were the women who had faithfully followed Jesus. And on one level, God gave this to them. God gave them the chance to see the empty tomb, to know Sunday morning before anybody else, because that is exactly how Jesus exploded the confining, smothering role of women in that culture, right? He empowered them. He sat with a woman to teach her. And her sister said, hang on, why isn't she serving? And Jesus says, no, this is what's important. A rabbi did that. Completely different treatment of women than we'd ever seen in this culture. So on one level, of course he has the women see it first. Because Jesus broke the stereotypes about women. Jesus made women, wait for this, people. Whoa! Created in God's image and treated like people created in God's image. Radical. And you almost have to study the culture to understand how crazy radical this was. On another level, the Messiah who taught that genuine, meaningful greatness comes from being a servant, comes from serving others, it makes sense that they were going to serve, and that's when they got their moment to discover the resurrection while everybody else was still in bed, right? Because their hearts were for service, even in this kind of meaningless thing, who cares if we anoint the dead prophet? He's not even a prophet. But we're going to do it anyway. We're going to follow through because service is good. And instead, for them before anybody else, it becomes Sunday morning. Everybody else is still living Saturday, and they get to live Sunday first because they served. And tell me that's not like what Jesus is, right? Tell me that's not the Jesus who says, to be great, you must become the servant of all. So either level, you pick. I'll take both. I just think this is exactly who God is revealed to us. That God empowers women to be people, and God takes people who serve and makes them great, just like he promised, because all his words are true. But the men laugh at them, or scoff, or ignore them, or rebuke them, or scold them. The women are living in Sunday morning. The men are still in darkness. They're still living on Saturday afternoon. The women are living in resurrection, and the men are still living in Jesus is dead in a cold, dark tomb. Except Peter. I just think these are beautiful words in Scripture. But Peter. Peter has to see. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Peter has to know if there is the slightest possibility that the last interaction that Peter had with Jesus was not the last interaction that Jesus would have with Peter. He's got to find out. You understand this, right? What were Peter's last words? I swear to God, I have no idea who this man is. I've never seen him before. I've never followed him. And then the rooster crows. And he betrayed, he denied Jesus exactly the way that Jesus said. And that's their relationship, because now Jesus is dead. Except maybe he's not dead. I bet Peter never ran a faster, however far that was, in his life. But Peter. And I'm picturing the rest of the guys, right? Because they're mocking these women for saying this, and then suddenly Peter's booking it out of the room. Peter, you're breaking solidarity with the men. Yeah, I am. I don't care what you think. I've got to see for myself. He bent over and saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. Then he went away, wondering what happened. Now get this. The male disciples are still in Saturday afternoon. The women are in Sunday morning, and Peter is kind of stuck in the middle. He doesn't yet know. He doesn't yet believe. I know this because he's going to go fishing. He's not actually convinced, but something is up. Peter's living in this sort of in-between. Why is the tomb empty? What happened? And Jesus is going to have to confront Peter a little more directly with a lot of fish and a few questions before Peter moves all the way into Sunday reality. In which reality are we living? That's my question this morning. I mentioned I love those fans, right? In which reality are we living? Are we Saturday afternoon? Are we somewhere in the hazy in between where we see an empty tomb but we wonder what happened? Or are we Sunday morning? And I'm not saying that if we just believe in the resurrection, all the bad things in the world are going to suddenly disappear. But I am saying that if we believe in the resurrection, literally everything changes in us, for us. and the impossible becomes possible. Sunday morning, racism can change, right? I just described that hateful racism. There's absolutely still racism in the world. But do you know how I know that racism can change? Because slavery has been made illegal in country after country. And do you know why? Because Christians said, no, enough, stop, study it. That's how slavery has been abolished in country after country. People who follow Jesus say, no, that's not okay. They're people like I'm people, and God loves them, and they're made in God's image. This must stop. And they put their lives on the line, and it stops. The impossible becomes possible. Racism can change. Sunday morning, the women go to the grave to serve in the last way possible, the last way available to them to express their love to Jesus, and they're the first witnesses of the resurrection. Sunday morning, we can change this current epidemic of violence against women. And I don't think that it suddenly started happening. I think it suddenly started coming out. And that is good news. That is good news because sin is broken, sin is transformed, sin is healed in the light. Only when sin comes into the light do we change it, do we see it transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And I know that it's possible for us to end this scourge of violence against women. How do I know that? Because it's Sunday morning. Because women didn't used to get to vote because they were not people. Because women used to be possessions because they were not people. Let me tell you, my wife is way more people than I will ever dream to be. And guess how women got the vote? Uh-oh, you know what I'm going to say. Christians! And this is an unfortunately covered up part of history, but it's certainly true in the United States. That the push for women's suffrage was led by Christians who believe that we are all made in the image of Jesus Christ, and certainly we should all have a say as adults who are made in the image of Jesus Christ. The impossible becomes possible on Sunday morning. Saturday, we have disciples who think their time of following Jesus has ended. Now, hear this next scripture. I'm kind of skipping over Jesus confronting them directly. This is where they're going to go. These same guys who scoff at the women, this is where they're going to go. This is Acts 5. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them. Time out. These are the same people who had Jesus killed. The high priest has questioned them, saying, we gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter, I love these words. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to those things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. That's the same Peter who on Friday night said, I swear to God, I've never heard this man's name before. That's the same Peter. After Sunday morning, the impossible becomes possible. Peter says this to the exact same people who did a mock trial for Jesus and had him killed. No, we have to proclaim that God, by his Holy Spirit, raise this man from the dead. We have to obey God over any human authority. That's the difference between Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning. And just to drive this point home, they were enraged. The Pharisees wanted to kill him. And then this man, Gamaliel, speaks up. Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him, but he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. Saturday afternoon will stay Saturday afternoon. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God, which is a bad place to be. Gamaliel speaks the truth of Sunday morning. If it is God, you can't do anything to stop it. If you oppose it, you are opposing God Almighty himself. Did the disciples believe that they could change the world? Did they believe that? I don't know if they believed that, but they did change the world. They did change the world. By the power of God, through the Holy Spirit moving in them, this small group of people who laugh when the women come and tell them the tomb is empty, they directly led to your knowing about Jesus Christ. And no one in this room knows about the resurrection of Jesus Christ except for through the line that they went out and filled Jerusalem and then got chased out of Jerusalem and filled the world with the good news of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is alive, and you know that because these guys who were completely defeated and conquered on Saturday afternoon discovered that there was an empty tomb on Sunday morning, and they changed the world. Now, I will tell you the truth. To my way of seeing things, to my Saturday afternoon eyes, things look bad. When I look from human view, the world is getting worse. My country is getting worse. This country scares me. I love this country. It scares me. I've lived here for 7 years. It scares me. Some of the things that I have been praying for, they just seem to get worse and worse. And I know that sin and brokenness are real and they have consequences in the world. But it is not Saturday. It is not Saturday. It is Sunday morning. Jesus rose from the dead. He did. His tomb is empty. And I'm going to live like it's Sunday. I'm going to live like the impossible is possible. And the people who oppose that may be opposing God himself. The difference between knowing about God and knowing God is that if you know God, you already know that God can change people because God's already changed you. You have been changed. You might have forgotten how God changed you. You might have your eyes focused on something else. You might be living Saturday afternoon. You might be living Peter's kind of vaguely Sunday morning. But the truth is, if you know God, if you know Jesus Christ, God has already changed you and will continue transforming you into his image. If you're back living Saturday, I get it. It's easy to do. It's easy to fall back on that. But it's not the truth that God has given us. Those disciples could go right on living Saturday afternoon, but that's not the reality. The reality is an empty tomb. The reality is a resurrected Jesus Christ. The reality is the impossible is possible in the power of God. So this is a choice. This is the picture that I want to leave you with. And it's not a choice between Saturday when I'm hopeless and Sunday when I know that I can make things happen. This is knowing Jesus and the power of his resurrection. If we live in Saturday, we are blind to the reality that Jesus has conquered death, has changed the world, and we are weeping over an empty tomb. If we live in Sunday, we follow Jesus who rose from the dead, and he will lead us where he chooses, in his power, by his Spirit. And he will change us, and he will change the world through us. Not because we can, not because now I know I can do it, but because he can, and he cannot be stopped. There is nothing on earth, including death, that can stop the power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And the choice of Sunday morning is, will I go where Jesus leads? Crazy as that might seem, impossible as that might be, way beyond what I could ever do. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the power of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead. Our job is to run to the tomb, to believe the unbelievable, because we know it's true. And then to follow Jesus, to live Sunday, to proclaim Sunday, to let God's Spirit lead us out into the world to tell everybody, it is Sunday morning. The tomb is empty. Amen. Thanks, buddy.